Get right to it. We have a lot to talk about this hour. As you know, we've been doing this third hour on the program, Monday through Friday, for about 6 weeks now with Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, one of the world's really foremost and respected virologists. So you're getting the best you're going to get anywhere right here. There are, as you know, a number of theories running around about where the virus came from, how it came to be. And ultimately, it really doesn't matter at this point because we have an issue that has to be dealt with. And how each and every one of you deals with it is up to you. I can only urge all of you to prepare and put food away in case you become involuntarily quarantined or isolated or whatever word you want to ascribe to it. There's a lot that can happen here. Just a couple of quick things and we'll get right to Henry. Story. Coronavirus reappearing now weeks later in discharged, recovered patients. So I read the other day it was a 14% chance of reinfection. It may be higher than that. Did the virus ever really fully go away or did it go hide like the herpes virus can do? Hide, it sort of encapsulates itself and it's not picked up on tests. Then it breaks out when the human immune system becomes weakened. I'm keeping it real simple here. The big story for us in the Northwest is the first formally recognized case of coronavirus is now out in Oregon. Oregon Health Authorities press release today on the state's first case. They say there is no history of travel nor close contact with any other confirmed case. Appears to be locally acquired. What do we call that? Community transmission. The individual, apparently a male, works at a school and may have exposed students and staff. The school where the patient works will be closed immediately. Let me read just a little bit more. The case is a resident of Washington County. Experienced symptoms of coronavirus beginning February the 19th, and a sample was collected from the individual today. That sample was sent to the Oregon State Public Health Laboratory in Hillsboro, which used one of the brand new COVID-19 test kits it received yesterday from the center, 2 days ago, Wednesday, from the Centers of Disease Control. So it used the test and got a positive. Our first concern is for the individual to make sure they are being cared for and to be able to recover, said Director such and such. Our next priority is finding out who this individual had contact with and to make sure they know, all of those people know, about their risks and to let them know how they can get care if they need it. Anything else here? This is important. The individual had neither a history of travel to a country where the virus is circulating, nor is believed to have had close contact with another confirmed case, which I mentioned earlier. So let's go to Dr. Nyman and welcome Henry back and find out what you know about this, Henry. Welcome.
Well, it's good to be back. I know it's one of many, and that's what happens. They got the kid on Wednesday. They got a positive on Friday, and this country is littered with cases. There are cases at all levels.
We've been saying this for days and days, and for not weeks.
They're asymptomatic. Yeah. There are cases that have mild cases and mild illness and haven't seen a doctor. There are cases in the hospital, intubated, with pneumonia, who have never been tested.
Tested, no. Nope.
The country has cases everywhere. They refuse to test a case at UC Davis because she had no history of travel.
Still.
No, the second request, they did, well, they've already been proven wrong. And they did concede to do the test on the second request. And she's positive. And, they've actually issued today an announcement that they're changing the rules, that basically if, the clinician feels that, this is a possible case and they ruled out things like influenza and other more common respiratory illnesses,
right,
that they can go ahead and order the test as long as they've got the test. Now a bunch of tests were shipped out this week, and there are another shipments going out next week.
These are kits.
And,
Right.
And these are...
And each kit has 700 tests in it.
These are the older ones. Right. Each one of these kits can do 700 tests. And the original plan was, they actually shipped them out. They shipped out a kit to each state lab and about 100 other partners, either in the United States or even internationally. And then it was kind of a, there were three tests in for an individual. And one of the three tests was given equivocal results. And so for the labs to use it, they have to pass a proficiency test. And most of the states did not pass. And that's when they realized that one of the three tests was not, for whatever reason, wasn't really performing right and wasn't reliable.
Oh, the test may not have been at fault. It might have been the person administering the test. That's what you're saying here.
Well, that those are the rules. They basically have to prove that the kits
they're
they
competent.
Receive
I got
will give their correct result. And so when they gave the wrong result, it was probably the that one test, and I don't know, why a few of them got it right, whether they were just lucky or whether there's some, a little quirk. I mean, that happens a lot with new tests, and it happens a lot in the lab, when you're,
so you're saying operator error.
I've never done that before.
Operator error may have been a factor. May have been. All right.
Yeah, but since so many labs failed it, there was something wrong with that. There may be a way around it, but it's not consistent enough to be using it because it's too easy to get the wrong result. So that was the bottom line.
Let me do one thing for our audience real quick, just real quick, by way of an update, and we're going to revisit this. The CDC stopped testing in this country, for whatever reason, with those earlier test kits, on the 12th. There was no testing done from the 12th to the 27th. That was yesterday. And then today they come up with the first positive in Oregon, maybe the first test they ran. We don't know. This, again, is a person who is showing no overt signs that he should be even considered to be a possible, except for symptoms. Go ahead.
Okay, and to clarify, there was limited testing. The CDC could still do the test, so you could send it to the CDC. And there were a few labs that did pass and did have kits. And then there were separate types of contracts, like the Diamond Princess, and the evacuees from Wuhan. There were kits there which were being used to test those individuals, but it was separate. Everything was kind of, the state lab couldn't use those. Those were, a contract by, I don't even know who is administering it, but in any event, those were kits that were set aside for those individuals. So they were tested and positives were obtained for both sets of patients, although there were only three from the, from Wuhan. There were a lot more than that from the Diamond Princess. And,
well, for
and
2 weeks,
though,
we had no
out.
Testing basically going on. There was very little
there
testing
was very
going on.
Minimal testing, right. Minimal testing and still rigorous rules where they, they were, that's the thing, these rules they put in are just silly because they're obsolete by the time they implement them. they're using old data, and so they're looking for people that have come from China, and China basically shut everything down. So there wasn't much activity in China because everybody was under quarantine if there was a lot of virus there. So China wasn't even a major source. And those were the ones that you needed to be from China to get tested. So if you were from Singapore, or you were from Hong Kong, or you were from Japan, or you were from South Korea, that wasn't, you know, you didn't meet the definition. I think they might have eased that up a little bit recently, but that wasn't part of the definition originally. And then if they did change it, they still kept it in Asia. So if you came from Italy, you didn't get tested. If you came from Iran, I don't know how many come from Iran here, but Iran certainly was going to Canada. They've had four positives from Iran in the last week. So the people that were in countries where it was spreading, if they came here, they weren't tested. And that's why everybody in Europe's got positives. They got positives in Iceland today. I mean, there's countries all over the world that is testing people from Italy, and they're getting positives.
Except here.
Except for the United States. We have zero from Italy. So that is how absurd the whole management is. I mean, they're kind of, they have these rules, and the rules basically keep you from getting positives. And then it's virtually impossible to get the community cases because they don't meet any of these definitions.
No kind
of. And so once you start getting a couple community ones in spite of the CDC and in spite of the rules, then they realize that, well, it is already here, although it wasn't rocket science that they were already here, because the screening is known to be very, very poor. You know, it's not the way to identify people because it's got a long incubation period. People don't necessarily have a fever. If they do have a fever and take medications, they don't have a fever. And so there are so many ways that you can get through the screening. And then the screening was for a limited group, and it didn't really recognize how fast the virus was moving. And part of the reason it didn't recognize how fast the virus was moving is it wasn't just the CDC here that was doing this. They were doing this worldwide. So that basically you were testing people that couldn't produce positives, but you were ignoring many more people that were infected. So and even the people that you started to target, you were targeting after many had already come in. So the virus is already here, and then you were looking to slow down how many more were coming, and you were essentially ignoring the ones that were here. Because once they were here, whoever they infected, that was a community transmission, and they didn't get tested because they were local. So the first one was in Humboldt County. People don't even talk about Humboldt County. Humboldt County was the first community one, which was a week ago. I think it was last Thursday. And it was probably two, because there was a contact that had symptoms, and they tested it, and it was they got an inconclusive result. And that's probably because the test kit wasn't that good. So there were probably two in Humboldt County, but one was confirmed. But I'm not even sure if that one's in their total. I should really add it up and figure out what happened to Humboldt County. But in any event, that was the first one. And then the second one was the one that was totally botched. That was started out in Vacaville. went in the local hospital and got progressively worse and got intubated and then got transferred to UC Davis. And it was at UC Davis that they tried to get her tested and were turned down. And then they had a second request. They finally got her tested. And then she was, it took a couple of days because I think they sent it to Atlanta. So they had to get the sample and send it out and get a result. And so that was the first official case. And then there's a second case today in Santa Clara County. So Santa Clara County's right. Got the second community case.
And transmission
Santa
case.
Clara had already had two imported cases. So at the beginning of the month, or the end of last month, the beginning of this month, they were only like two or three days apart. And it was strange because they were both Santa Clara County, and they said they weren't, there was no connection. So they had two independent ones at the beginning of the month. And then this one just came up, and they're kind of scrambling because they've got another one right after the one at UC Davis. So they've got two in Northern California.
They got three community transmission cases. Boom, boom, boom.
Technically, they've got three, but they're counting two. And they were, almost back-to-back. And then along came Oregon. And so that's three. And Washington State is having a press conference right now. And I don't know if they're having it because the Oregon one is close to the border and they're coordinating with them. But they're having their own press conference. And I'm not sure. It wasn't Washington County. They specifically said it was Washington State. So I don't know if there's one in Washington State right now. And that's going to be announced, or whether they're looking how they're going to coordinate the one from Oregon. And the Oregon one is problematic because, as you mentioned, that person's been symptomatic for a while. And
working at an elementary school.
As a teacher, right. Working at an elementary school. And I think either a staff or a child is symptomatic. I had heard that. Just as a flash, I didn't read it. So
he's been showing symptoms since February the 19th, which is ten days ago now.
That's a long time, right?
And they finally tested him today.
Right, and that is what you're going to see. I mean, that is kind of the. It really began a week ago. It was kind of and it didn't begin here because nobody was being tested, but it began really in Europe and the Middle East. It was Iran and Italy, and they started getting these cases showing up like last Friday, and that was kind of the tipping point. It was clear that it wasn't contained in China, and these were locations that were exporting cases. And then all week this week is just one right after the other. There's countries in the Middle East that basically got it from Iran, and there's countries in Europe that got it from Italy. But that's not really the end of it, and that's why all of these I've heard rumors that the next plan, and this is to give you an idea how bad it is that the U.S. isn't going to allow any trips going to Japan or South Korea. So they're zeroing in on Asia right now, and they're totally ignoring what's going on in the Middle East and Europe. And it's just crazy, because it's over. I mean, there are going to be more cases in the United States from people in the United States than they're going to be importing. because and so these bans are just going to be stupid. You know, it's just closing more doors after the horse is out of the barn. And so that's what they think they're going to do. They thought that the China thing stopped it. Now you got the whole West Coast covered. And now they're going to go ahead and put up a bigger barrier to keep any activity from the West Coast. And the East Coast is full of cases. They just haven't been tested yet. New York just sent one out from Italy to get tested because their test didn't work in New York. So they sent the sample to Atlanta. And, and it's not even limited to that. I mean, it was, Sweden just got a case that came from Germany.
Correct.
Okay.
I saw that too. I can do this.
How about Toronto? Do you see the latest one from Toronto?
No. What's going on?
There's a Toronto case tonight.
Oh,
guess where they came from?
I haven't seen it yet.
Guess where they came from?
Italy.
Egypt.
Oh my! Egypt again, huh?
Well,
that's the second.
Right.
That's...
So Egypt's got one case that we know of, and they're already exporting cases.
Exporting. Okay.
So,
that means that
so
Egypt has a nice reservoir.
If you're exporting a case, you've got more than one.
You bet. You've got a reservoir
that,
there.
That guy that landed it in, and he's like 80 years old, the guy who landed in Toronto didn't run into that one case in Egypt and get infected.
No, of course not.
So that's what the situation is. If you don't test, you look good on paper, but it's not reality.
We've been talking about this, Henry and I, especially Henry, for a long time now, 2 weeks, no testing, no cases, and we are not happy with the way this has been handled. Here's this live Washington State news conference going on right now, Henry. I'm going to tune in just for a minute. Let's see what they're saying here.
Yeah, it was supposed to have started at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, here we go.
And, pandemic and so on. I think the most important thing for your viewers and your listeners to understand now is that we expect more cases, that there are things that people can do to protect themselves, that most of the infections are mild, 80%, but we don't want to have any more severe cases than necessary. So because of that, we really want people to think very hard about hand hygiene, touching their mouth, nose, and face, about staying home from school and work when they're sick, about staying away from others who are sick, and about having a home preparedness plan, a pandemic preparedness plan. There's great information on the websites, both Washington State Department of Health, Public Health, Seattle, King County, CDC, where you can see what types of things you might do to prepare for a couple of weeks where we might say, don't go out if you don't need to, cancel public gatherings, stay away from others. So if you've got kids at home, think about how they'll be cared for if they're sick. If you have dependents, elders at home who need care, make sure people have appropriate supply of medication on hand.
All right, there you go.
I got the update. They've got two cases. One of them is from Snohomish County with no travel history, and the other one's from King County from South Korea. So,
all right, so you got four community transmissions. One from South Korea.
It's going right up the coast. went from Northern California to Oregon to Washington State. And
right up Interstate 5, Henry, right past me.
There you go. Well, keep your windows rolled up.
That's not a joke. I'm serious.
I'm serious too. I mean, death is going to be everywhere. It's not just on I-5. Believe me, it's.
Oh yeah.
I-5 is there because it connects all the big cities.
Anyone who's been listening to you and these programs is as informed as anybody could be. We have done everything humanly possible to bring the truth forward, and the issue is, this country has virus essentially scattered all over it, all right? And the more they test, the more they're going to find. Just keep that in mind. Go ahead, Henry.
And now that they've got these positives, they are going to test. I mean, they got the kits. they are going to test, and you're going to get one right after the other. You know, each day, it's not if you're going to get one or two or three. You know, it's really going to be how many clusters do you have? How many of these that you hear about are part of a cluster that you heard about a week earlier? You know, and because it's not contained. It's not only here. It's transmitting here, and it's transmitting very easily. And there's actually, I was going to go into it a little bit. There's a reason for that, and it's not a good reason. It's something that I think a lot of your listeners will understand. And there was a paper that was published in China. And it was kind of the same one that was in Europe, where it's a preprint type of a publication. So scientists can go and write up their papers, submit them there, and they're available to be seen, even though they haven't gone through the peer review process. So they're kind of early papers that are normally would be submitted to a journal. They would be under review. And you really wouldn't see them until as long as they were accepted or modified and accepted, then they would be public and you'd see them. So you can see them ahead of time. And they were doing this in part because of a pandemic. The scientists know there's a pandemic. They know what this virus is doing. They can see the early reports. They know how easily it transmits. They know how high the case fatality rate, which is a joke. I mean, they're still going with the 2% story.
I can't believe it. I heard one that was 1%. Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, so they know it's a major problem. It's a problem on the order of like 1918 type of a problem, that this virus is very transmissible and is very lethal. And so they want to get the information out, and this paper came out, and if you saw the title, you probably
Henry, hold on. We lost you for about 10 seconds. Back up, and you said you saw this paper. What did you say next?
I said that if you're
we're losing you again. All right, go ahead.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, okay.
I'm just fading in and out.
We're all right. You faded out a couple times, but not for long. Go ahead.
And so this paper is about a site that is susceptible to an enzyme called FERN, which is a protease.
A site in the human body cell you're talking about.
No,
a receptor
site.
On the virus. All right. Okay.
It's a cleavage site, and it turns out that you've heard this. I've talked about polybasic cleavage sites in the past for H5N1, and how it's a high pass H5N1, and that is essentially what makes it high pass. That the virus is part of its process to get into a cell. Not only mm-hmm. has a receptor that binds mm-hmm. to the a binding site that binds to the receptor on the cell, but mm-hmm. then it has to get cleaved. So the H in influenza has to be cleaved to get the virus into the cells, and it doesn't code for the enzyme that does that cleavage. It depends upon the cell to do that. And depending upon what that cleavage site looks like determines what cells they can get into, because they have to match. The enzyme's got to be in that cell to do this cut to get the virus in. And normally in influenza, there's just a single basic amino acid, and that's where it's cleaved. It's cleaved right next to the basic amino acid. There's only one. And the enzyme that can do that is not all over the place. It's kind of just like in the upper respiratory tract. So the virus pretty much stays in the upper respiratory tract. It doesn't go into a lot of different cell types. It's limited by having the required enzyme to get it in. But if it has a polybasic cleavage site where it's got several basic amino acids right in a row there, then it can be recognized by different proteases, different enzymes that can make that cut in more cells. So then it can get into a lot more different cell types, and it can get down into the lower respiratory tract and get into your lungs. And there, so it has the ability to get into cells that it normally couldn't reach because it's polybasic. And in the case of avian, in the case of chickens, I mean, that's a reliable test that if it's H5 or H7 and it's got a polybasic cleavage site, it's high path. The chickens get that. They have a very high mortality rate. They die fairly quickly. They have all of their organs attacked by the virus, and the virus just runs in, and the virus is very transmissible. It gets up to, you know, high levels, and it wipes out the flocks of chickens. And as it turns out, this virus has a polybasic cleavage site that is not in the earlier versions of the bat. So you can take the bat that is not a new isolate. It was isolated about 7 years ago or so, but it is close. It's like 96% identical. Mm-hmm. That is like the low-path avian influenza. It's just got one basic amino acid, and that's where it gets cleaved. This virus has three basic amino acids right in that area, and therefore it's susceptible to this protease called furin, F-U-R-I-N. And that is fairly widespread in a lot of different cell types. So as a result, this virus can get into multiple cell types. And that is why it's easily transmitted.
Yep.
It's high path, and it can easily transmit from human to human. So unlike SARS and unlike MERS, it's more transmissible. And that's why it's, you know, spreading like wildfire. So it's
very
easy for...
Let me just recap a little bit here. The CDC sent out their new tests on Wednesday. Yesterday, one test was run. We had a positive. Now, Washington, apparently starting to test, as we've been telling you, has announced this evening, within the last half an hour, two new cases. Same thing's going to happen in multiple locations all over the country. They're going to start testing now. Each kit has 700 tests. 700 people can be tested. Watch what happens. You better get prepared. Yeah. If you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. Go ahead.
And because they now have this whole, they skipped over Humboldt County, but they've got this one in Solano. They got Solano County, and they've got this one in Washington County, and now they've got this one in Washington State.
Two.
And so they've got three. But one's community. The other one's from South Korea. So now they've got three community cases, community transmission. That's who they were not testing. And now they realize that there's probably a whole lot of pneumonia cases that they've never tested because they don't have any travel history.
So
they're local, but they weren't tested. Now that they see that it is local and that it is being transmitted in people that haven't done any traveling are getting the virus, then that's the green light. And that's what CDC sent out tonight. Tonight they sent out a health network, you know, an HAN, and that basically says that these are the criteria for using the test. That if the physician feels that this is a possibility, and they've eliminated influenza and other respiratory viruses, that they can go ahead and use this test. And now that they've got the test there, you know, it's still supposed to be a two-step. They're supposed to do it at the lab, at the local lab, and then if they get a positive, they're supposed to send it on to the CDC for final confirmation. But I can assure you that they're going to do exactly what Canada does, and they're going to go ahead and hold a press conference, and they're going to say, we got a positive. We're sending it off. It's a presumptive positive, but we got a positive, and we think it's going to be a confirmed positive. But we're holding the press conference now because we need to let the people in the community know that there's an issue here and that there's exposure. And, you know, they already closed the elementary school in Oregon. And it'll be the same thing here at this press conference. They're going to say, well, this is the person, and he lives in, you know, they probably won't give his address. In Asia, they actually give the address. But they'll say he's in this area, and that, you know, if he, you know, they don't have airplanes to give out now. You know, they don't, these people are local, but they can say where they are and who might be exposed and where the contacts are that they're testing if it's something like a school. And that's why there won't be any school on Monday. Where it's going to have a deep cleaning, quote unquote. And as soon as people read about this, even patients, they're going to say, you couldn't figure out what I had. I've been, had this pneumonia for the past 2 weeks. Can I have that test? And I didn't go anywhere, but I got the symptoms, and you can't figure out what I've got. And I think I might have this virus. And the doctors are going to look at this and going to say, that's what the test is for.
Funniest thing.
Swirl it away and say, I don't know what you got here. You sure you haven't traveled? And they say, no, I haven't traveled, but I seem to have all the symptoms. So that's why there's going to be an explosion in cases.
Henry, I want to commend you for standing up on this program for all these weeks, especially since the 12th of this month when the CDC stopped testing. Henry has predicted all of this. He's forecast every bit of it. We put it out there. We've done our best, and now the truth is here. And he deserves to be recognized for having the courage and the scientific brilliance to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, this is what's going to happen. And he was right. So anyway, I just want to tip my hat to you and all the work you've done here. It's been remarkable. Go ahead.
I've said many times before that the best way to control the spread of confirmed cases is to not test. Because as long as you don't test,
true.
You don't get any confirmed
cases.
That's
almost a bumper sticker for virologists. That's funny.
And so that's basically what's been used. And, I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, you can take a look at all of these countries in Europe. And that basically have positives that were linked to Italy. And it's just one right after the other. I mean, I was using Spain as an example because they started out with just two cases. And where are they? You have to go way up the list to find them. Hold on, I'm missing it. But as I'm going up the list, they've got Australia's up to 25. Just one second here.
New Zealand got its first case today, too.
France is up to 57 now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Kuwait, oh, there they are. Spain, they didn't move them up. They just sit out. They've got 32 cases now in Spain. So they had two. They've had 30 cases in the last several days, and almost all of them are from Italy. Mm-hmm. But they aren't all. They've got a couple local cases now. So they've got local cases. England just announced a local case tonight. And I haven't really gone through these. I mean, it was the same thing today that I keep writing them up. And since I write them up, there's just a whole other slew of them. But France is up to 57 cases now. And Kuwait's up to 45. Bahrain's up to 38. Spain's at 32. England's, UK is up to 20. And Germany's up to 48. The cases are just exploding, and they're exploding because they're actually testing them. And when they test them, they get positives, and that leads to Iran. Iran is up to 388 now. Japan's up to 234. Italy's up to 889. South Korea's almost at 3,000, 2,931.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, every day they go up dramatically. There are more cases now outside of China than inside of China. There are more deaths, I think, and probably close. You know, Iran's up to 34 deaths. Italy's up to 21 deaths. South Korea's up to 17 deaths. Mm-hmm. And some of these are low. I mean, Iran, it's...
Oh, they're way low. They're conservative estimates. I'm sure
their vice president's been infected.
He's sick,
and the Pope
may be sick
in Italy. Yeah. Well, he's definitely sick. I don't know why he's coughing, but he's symptomatic. And
he did something the day before he showed up sick with a number of bishops about the coronavirus. I don't know what it was. It was a meeting he held with them, and it was interesting that the next day he showed symptoms. I want to remember. To remind everyone before we say goodnight tonight, what we just heard from Washington State, that live news conference, the gentleman said you all should consider preparing in case you have, basically what he was saying, in case you're told to stay home and not come outside. So that's on the drawing board, okay? That's part of the plan. He gave everybody clear notice. You didn't have to read between the lines much to catch that one. So you better prepare, because what happened in Oregon and Washington today was simply a case of health authorities now having the test kits, and they're testing. And this is going to happen all over the country now.
And you've got people in Washington, and you can imagine who they are, who are actually saying that this is a hoax, that this is all overblown. It's a cold virus. It's not really anything there. It's to make Trump look bad. And Trump actually went to a rally today and called it a hoax. Tonight he's calling it a hoax. Yes, he called it a hoax tonight.
I want that quote. Somebody please send me the quote. I can't stand to watch the guy.
He's doing with all these community cases popping up. And then he's going to go and put restrictions on travel to, and I'm not even sure it was travel this way. I think it was travel that way. It was going to restrict Americans from going to Japan,
Asia,
and South Korea.
When thousands a day are being flown in here by the Asian airlines. Thousands a day are coming
in here. I'm not sure who's going there anyway. I'm not sure
how many people
are hopping on the plane and going to Japan or South Korea at this stage. And I mean, they're not even going to Italy. So it might just, I don't know the details. I just heard that. And the plan was to do.
This is ass backwards. He's telling people they cannot travel over there, when in point of fact, thousands are coming over here every damn day. Philippine Air, Japan Air, Korean Air, Hong Kong Airlines, they're still flying in here.
They've been here.
For weeks and weeks.
Right. I mean, some of these cases in Italy, it's a long chain already. They've got, 20, 30 people in the chain. It's already gone through three or four levels. The index cases had symptoms the beginning of this month. It was a month ago. It's been 4 weeks. And they're not the index case for the country. They're index case for this particular chain. The virus has been in the country for a while, and people have been flying here for a while, and they've been infecting people here who haven't been tested because they were here. They didn't go there. They had people come here and infect them, and they're not tested because they have no travel history. And in fact, most of them don't even know where they were infected, and they're essentially not getting tested because they have no idea. They know they got this little cough, and it doesn't seem to go away, and it's been there. They've had it for a week or two, and maybe it's getting a little worse, and they went to the doctor, and they said, I don't know, you got some virus. You know, you got, we can take a look at you know, liver enzymes or something, or, you know, tell you that you got some type of infection, but we don't really know what it is. We can run a panel on some of the common respiratory viruses. You're negative for flu, and but everything's coming up negative. So let me know if it gets worse. If it gets worse and you get pneumonia, we're gonna have to put you in the hospital. And they're still not gonna test them. You know, they go in the hospital, and they'll say, and I mean, the case at Davis, she was intubated. Mm-hmm. She had been transferred to Davis because they couldn't handle her in Rockerville. And they had to beg for the test. They initially denied it, and they had to convince them that, you know, this person's you know, intubated, and we need to know if it's this virus or not, so at least we know what we're dealing with. But if it's this virus, the healthcare workers need to know that. They've got PPEs, but they don't have the right level of PPEs if they've got somebody that is this sick, because if they're this sick, they got a ton of virus. And guess what? They already got the sequence. The sequence came out this morning. And you know why they had the sequence? Because he's intubated. They got a bronchial lavage. They can go right to the lungs and suck up the fluid, and it's loaded with virus. And in a day or two, they've got a full sequence. Because that's an ideal, you know, from a research standpoint, to get a virus and get a sequence, you want to go right to the lungs, and that's what they can do because the tubes are in. You know, they just go right down and scoop up a little bit of fluid, and they got lots and lots of virus. But the point is that the healthcare workers at UC Davis and the healthcare workers in Vacaville are all being tested now, because even though they had PPEs, they didn't have the level they should have for this virus. And I'm not even sure what they had in Vacaville, you know, where they started.
PPEs, for those of you who don't know, are personal protection gear, okay? Masks, goggles, disposable body gown coverings. Go ahead.
So the point is that now they realize that the virus really is here, and they realize that there are very sick people that have the virus, and there are other people that aren't as sick, but they still have the virus.
Watch how many healthcare workers come down with it. Watch. Just watch.
And they're going to start testing. The doctors know about it, and they're going to have the kits, and it's just going to go bang, bang, bang. They're going to be these presumptive positives, and they're going to be announcing one right after the other, and they're going to be another example of community spread. This weekend there'll be a whole additional series, and there'll probably be a bunch on the West Coast because they know the virus is on the West Coast.
Oh yeah,
And you know, they haven't done anything in Southern California yet. I'm sure they've got cases sitting there. So
Korean Airlines plane landed at LAX, and the steward was sick, or the stewardess was sick on the plane. How many people are carrying it around LA right now, just from that one flight? This is good. We can go back weeks and weeks of flights.
The virus is all over the place. And the only reason you don't know it is that there's not any testing. And as soon as they start testing, and that's exactly what's happening in Europe. In Europe, they're realizing that you know, if they went to northern Italy and they've got these symptoms, the chances are very good that they've got this virus. And now they're finding out that it's been around long enough that these other countries like Germany and Egypt, I mean, can you imagine what's in Egypt? Egypt's exporting a case already, and they claim they've only got one positive. And,
right.
And so, you know, that just getting that tested, and it's going to be a challenge. And it's going to be all over the Middle East, and it's going to be in Africa. I mean, it's in Nigeria now, and that was from an Italian resident that was working down there, and that he's positive. And I didn't get the whole list, but I mean, I think the number of countries that now have a positive is something like high 40s or 50s now.
It
goes up multiple countries every day. That's why I say we keep a tally, and we have to keep adding countries that we didn't really put in the original list because we've never had anything. And Belarus has a positive now. Yeah, that's an example.
There's another one. New Zealand had its first case today.
But it's not one that we normally test.
All right. So, community transmission has begun. One case in Oregon, two cases in Washington just today and this evening. And now, watch what happens. The cascade will begin.
It'll be all weekend. There'll be new cases.
Oh, yeah. We'll allow a little extra time Monday. We're going to have a lot to cover, I'm sure. So please, again, all of you, prepare. Stay tuned right here. Watch the website, recombinomics.com or rents.com. We'll keep you up to date as best as anybody could. Thank you, Henry. You take care.
Have a good weekend. Okay,
you
take
too.
Care. Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman. All right, I guess enough said. If you're members of Costco. If you're not, join. That's the best place I can point you to pick up. They've got pallet after pallet after pallet of good, storable food that you can get tomorrow over the weekend. And you better prepare. You heard the guy in that little bit of that news conference. He said people should be prepared in case they're planning on it. They're going to shut people down and keep them in their homes. Watch and see. All right. It's up to you. We'll be here for you 24 hours a day. Take care. Talk soon.